Psalm 143 tonight. If you'll read the book of Psalms, you'll find somewhere in the book of Psalms, there's something about the Psalms. There's just something about that book or those songs in the Bible that if you'll read it long enough, you'll find yourself in one of those Psalms. And many times the Psalms are about praise and worship and the good things of God. Sometimes it'll go on and on, verse after verse after verse after verse, about the goodness and greatness and mighty, powerful, wonder works of God. And then sometimes the one will be like this, where it speaks of how destitute and broken we are and how much we need the Lord. What we have to understand is the Christian life. I keep saying this because it's true. Our life is in seasons, and so sometimes we're up and we're on the mountaintop and things are good. But sooner or later, we're going to hit a slump. We're going to hit a bad place. Anybody that plays ball can tell you, anybody that ever power hitter has ever been, sooner or later he's going to strike out. Sooner or later he's going to do something dumb. That's just the law of averages, and that's just life in general. But sometimes in life, as we read here tonight in Psalm 143, the psalmist David here is in a really, really deep, dark place. And in my life, I don't know about you, but I can speak for me in my life and look back over the years. There's two or three times I've been like this, and I can relate to what he's saying. Amen? Let's just read a little bit, and I'll just give you what the Lord laid on my heart, and we'll go to the house. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. He's saying, don't give me justice, Lord, because I know if I get justice where I'll be. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. That's absolutely right. The only reason you are justified is through faith in the shed blood of Calvary. You ain't justified in your own deeds and your own works. For the enemy that hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. He said, I feel like a dead man. I feel like I'm in the grave. Amen? Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. I was reading this and studying and praying, and I read across that. I kept reading this over and over, and I saw so much in this chapter. But there's one part in there that really struck me in verse 4, where he said, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and he said, my heart within me is desolate. Overwhelmed and desolate. I want to preach on just a few minutes. We'll be out of here by 9:30. Overwhelmed and desolate. Now, to be overwhelmed is one thing, but desolate is something else. That's two different things. When you're overwhelmed, you ever been overwhelmed? You can be overwhelmed and not necessarily be a real bad thing. You can be overwhelmed, if you just flooded with something, it's just more than you can grasp, and it's just more than you can handle. You can just be overwhelmed with it. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen, and you can be overwhelmed one thing after another. I've had things happen in my life, bam, 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 like dominoes. You're like, oh my goodness gracious, alive, what in the world? And you just get overwhelmed, and you feel like I have no control, and I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to go. I don't know whether to jump up, down, or cry, or what. I don't know what to do. And you get overwhelmed. You ever get that way? I remember when Debbie taught school for years and years. I remember times that she'd come home, and she'd say, sometimes I just get overwhelmed. And you think, well, you got this class full of brats, what's that? But you think, well, you babysit one of them for a day. And you think about 17 of them. Bunch of spoiled little devils that their mom and daddy thinks they don't do nothing wrong, and then you got to put up with them all day. That would overwhelm you. You think about, there's a lot of things in your life. I mean, it happens that way. But much, you just get overwhelmed, and it's like you're spinning. It reminds me of a thought, the word overwhelmed reminds me, just that word, just it pictures in my mind of a boat being capsized, and it's floating upside down. That's what I think of. I don't know why, but when I think of that word overwhelmed, I just think of a ship that just couldn't take it no more, and it's flipped upside down. And that's the way your life gets sometimes. Can I get a witness on that? And you get overwhelmed, but then he said, my heart is desolate within me. He said, my heart is desolate. Well, I say the word desolate, and I read that word, and I think about it. Sometimes I just close my eyes and think about what that means. And you don't need Greek. You got a King James Bible. You don't need Greek. Yeah, it's right there in plain English. He said, my heart is desolate. You ever watch an old cowboy movie? You ever watch one of them where the guy comes riding into town, and it's real dry, and it's dusty, and all the stores are closed up, and there's a saloon door swinging back and forth in the wind, and there's no plants, there's no trees, there's just nothing. It's a ghost town. And out the windows are boarded up, and the water trough's empty, and ain't no horses or animals. Once while you see an old stray dog run across the road, and you'll see a tumbleweed rolling across the middle of the street. There's no tracks in the road where the wagons has been going. There's no life. And that's what that word desolate means. He said, I'm overwhelmed on one hand, but on the other hand, I'm desolate. He said, my heart feels like a wasteland. I feel like I'm in the wilderness. And brother and sister, you get that way. And many times we'll get that way, and you'll get that way again down the road. But the secret to being to getting out of this condition, the psalmist gives us.
Amen.
You'll get overwhelmed. That seems to be without hope, and you become desolate. That's when you can do nothing about it. Overwhelms when you everything's crashing in on you, and desolate's when you don't know how to handle it. But this, a lot of these things come because of backsliddenness. Sometimes it comes by simply because I ain't living right where I ought to be. Maybe I get overwhelmed or desolate because I ain't praying like I ought to pray, or because I ain't spent enough time in this blessed book that I ought to. Maybe it's backsliddenness, or maybe it's bitterness. Maybe you're just holding on to some little something that you just ought to just let go and let it ride, but you just hang on to it and clutch on to it. Can I tell you tonight, that bitterness that you have in your heart towards somebody else, it ain't hurting them very bad. Brother, I tell you, you're the one that's suffering, and you're the one holding on to it. I tell you, brother, you'll enjoy life a lot better if you'll turn loose of that bitterness. Sometimes it's backsliddenness, sometimes it's bitterness, and sometimes it's battles that we go through. But I want to tell you something tonight. When you get overwhelmed and you're desolate, I've told y'all a few of my little stories, and I'd like to hear some of y'all some of these days. But I'm going to tell you something, brother and sister, God always makes a way. Every time I've been overwhelmed, Brother Heath, and I thought, I'm going under, and I just cannot. There's no way I can fight back, nothing I can do. God always makes a way. Some way, somehow, God said I'll make a way. And He sees the storm from the other side. When we see the storm, He already sees the rainbow. Amen, brother, I want you to know tonight, when you're overwhelmed and you're desolate, don't give up, please, Christian, don't give up. Child of God, hang in there. God needs you, I need you, the church needs you, that lost soul out there needs you. Don't cash in your chip, don't throw in the towel, just hang in there. Let's ride this thing out and see what happens. I want you to know right here, he said, number one, he said, I will remember, verse 5. Glory to God. He said, I'm desolate and I'm overwhelmed, but first of all, he said, I will remember the days of old. And he said, I'll meditate. One way to come out of that frame of mind, and one way to come out of that spiritual deep dark depression, is just forget about everything that's going on for a few minutes and get alone with God and start thinking back. I mean, just look back for a while. I know Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just get by yourself and forget what's going on. Forget that you're out of a job. Forget that you don't have any money. Forget that your wife nags all the time, and start looking back to where you was a poor, dying, lost, drunk, a dope head that deserved hell. And oh, how God in His mercy and His love and His compassion chased you to the ends of this world and saved your never-dying soul and took you from the clutches of Satan and saved you and made you a fit candidate for heaven. Thank God, I want to tell you, brother, He said, I will remember. I remember where I came from. I remember what God has done for me. And brother, it won't be long. You'll start coming out of that frame of mind. He said, I'll remember. That speaks of perspective. Just get things in perspective. Start thinking about how good God is. Yeah, but preacher, this happened, that happened, that. Yeah, I know, but what about what God's done? I can remember vividly in my mind. I know some of y'all got saved when he was little, and I'm proud of you. I'm glad you ain't got a rotten, stinking testimony like mine. Amen. But I remember times, me and Brother Jeff was talking one day riding up the road. I remember three or four times when I was a teenager that I came this close to getting killed. I mean, about three times, brother. I mean, well, a couple of them's in fights, and one of them's a car wreck. I mean, I come in a hair of dying. One time I had a car wreck and laid out there bleeding to death, and the ambulance couldn't find us out there way out in the woods, way out in the middle of nowhere. Oh, brother, I think about that when I get to complaining, when I get to feeling sorry for myself, and I start thinking the church don't care, people don't care, church ain't growing, nobody's getting saved. Boy, I look back to them days when I was riding up down the road and I was smoking pot and taking drugs and drinking liquor, and I think God could have very well been righteous and let me went on to hell. He didn't have to save me, but he had mercy. Oh, brother, that puts it in perspective. Oh, yeah. Brother, that makes it a whole lot better when you start remembering what God's done for you, and you start remembering where you're at and where you're going and where you deserve to go, and God has mercy on you and save your soul. Thank God, brother, that'll help you to get the joy back in your soul. Amen. Praise God. He said, I'll remember. Number two, I want you to look at verse 6. He said, not only will I remember, but verse 6, he said, I'll stretch forth my hands. He said, I'll respond to it. Not only will I remember, but I'll respond. Some of you won't shout. Some of you won't testify because you don't feel it. And I understand that. I'm the same way. I like to feel it. But he said, God saved me and pulled me up out of a horrible pit. And for that alone, I'll lift up my hands. He said, I'll stretch forth my hands. He's talking about praise. I'm talking about praise tonight. Brother, you can go to the average Baptist church and it's dead as a morgue. Brother, it's dry as last year's bird nest. But I say, if you start remembering where God brought you from and where you ought to be, brother, that'll make you lift up them hands and shout and praise Him and worship God a little while. Amen. Amen. Overwhelmed and desolate. He said, I'll remember. That speaks of perspective. Number two, he said, I'll respond. That speaks of praise. Preacher, why do you carry on like that? It's like that song they sing. If you've been where I was, and you knew what God did for me, and where I came from, where I almost was, where I almost went. Even if I'd have lived, I'd have probably been crippled up and been in a wheelchair and been brain dead. I'm about brain dead now, but thank God. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat, brother. I know I'm saved. I know I'm serving the right master. I know I'm going to heaven. And boy, I just want to raise my hand and thank be unto God. Though the world be against you, and though it may be dark and stormy, and folks criticize you, and say you're a cult, and say something's wrong with that bus, thank God I just look back and think what God's done for this crowd, and what God's done for me and you, and what God's done in this church. It makes me want to raise my hands and praise Him. Amen. I'll remember and I'll respond. Number three, look at verse 8. He said, I'll return. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. That speaks of His promises. He said, I'll remember and I'll respond, but I'll return. Remember how it used to be when you first got saved? I mean, you're just bubbling over. You know it can be that way again. You can make your life a honeymoon if you want to. Amen. Boy, it's not a good time to be preaching on this Valentine's this week. You know what I got my wife Valentine's Day? You're looking at it, brother. That's why she's so happy. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. If you keep the honey in the honeymoon and things are sweet and things are good year-round, you don't have to wait for one time a year just to try to win her over. And you don't have to wait for one time a year to see that He cares. But, brother, you just return. You know what that means? It's like that old song that said, roll back the curtains of memory. Now and then, let me go back and visit. Oh, thank God I'm glad, brother. It'll make you want to return to God and go back and get close to God like you once were. We're all the same. I know how it is. You kind of cool off a little bit. Preacher, I don't feel the Spirit like I used to. Just hanging there.
Amen.
I get that way. I get that way too. But I want to tell you something, brother. The way to come out of this overwhelmed and desolate despair is to remember and to respond and to return. Go back to what works. You say, Preacher, I used to shout. I used to can feel it. Now I don't feel it. Are you reading your Bible like you did then? Are you praying like you did back then? Just go back to the fundamentals and do those basic things that you used to do that worked back then. If it worked 30 years ago, it'll work today. I notice the less of the world I have and the more of Him I have, it starts coming back. I start feeling like shouting again. If I leave the world alone, quit looking to the world, listen to the world, and I start looking at Him, get a real good clear picture of Him, and I get my focus back, and I get straightened out and get aligned up with Him again, brother and sister, that shout starts coming back again. I start realizing, I remember and I respond and I return. Number four, He said, I will be rewarded. That speaks of protection. Look at verse 9. He said, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto Thee to hide me. I've been saved a long time. I still want to run up under His wings.
Amen.
I still want to get up under His wings and say, Lord, just hide me. Hide me, Lord. I can't handle it. It's more than I can bear. And He said, just get on under here. I'll take care of you. You remember when you was a kid and the storm would come, your mama would hug you up and you didn't think a nuclear bomb could penetrate mama. You used to, as kids, we'd get in the bed with mama when it was storming. We just thought if we was up in mama's bed, we thought lightning couldn't strike a bed of feathers. And even if it did, it couldn't hurt us because mama was in the bed with us. Their mama's in the bed with a gang of street urchins, you know. It was all piled in bed. It's storming outside. But you know something, brother? That's the reward. That's the reward. David is saying, Lord, he said, I'll go back to you. He said, I want to hide myself in you. Can I tell you something tonight? I know you probably know this, but you can't hide in this church. You can't hide in Brother Ronnie. You can't hide in Miss Debbie. You can't hide in Brother Sam. That's the reason people's up in this altar a while ago. There is a hiding place. There is a place you can go. There's a place you can get shelter. Thank God it's the lovely Lamb of God that suffered and bled and died for you. And brother, he said, I'll be rewarded if I can just get back to you and hide myself. I know there's a reward for serving God. Thank God. I'm feeling pretty good right now. He said, I will be rewarded. He said, just hide me. Just hide me, Lord. Just let me take a little spiritual vacation. I can't change my surroundings. I can't change my circumstances. And I can't fix what's wrong. I can't repair what's broken. But God, just for a little while, will you hide me? Brother, I want to tell you something. I say it all the time. And some of you learn it the hard way. And some of you won't. But I'll tell you what, brother. Don't wait for an earthquake to come to find out you need a quiet, private time with God. You exercise that every day. And then when you get in trouble and the storm's raging and it's more than you can handle, you go back to that quiet place, that hiding place, and get along with God and get your Bible and pray and spend some solitude with Him, and that it'll make a difference in your Christian life.
Amen.
God's not just a last resort. Not just He's just not there just in case you need Him. We need Him every day. He said, number five, look at verse 10. He said, I'll remember and respond and return and I'll be rewarded. But He said, I'll be restored. That speaks of His power. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Uprightness. He said, I'll be restored. Even in the desert. They sing a song sometimes, even in the valley. God is still good. You can grab a hold of that, you'll make it. If you're in this Christian life and you're floating along and the only time you can be happy or have joy or have peace or contentment is when it's blowing and going and people are shouting and running the aisles, you ain't going to be happy long, because much of the Christian life is hard and it's lonely and it's cold and it's dark. And brother, that's why you need restoration. You need to be restored, because you are going to get down. He said, I'll be restored. Verse 10 says, I know you'll restore me. There's been times, I could give you a lot of illustration, but I'm not going to. There's been times in my Christian life I thought, I'll never get back to where I once was, because I'm in this mess and in this storm and this situation, this circumstance. It ain't going to change. I don't see how. My mom used to, her favorite life verse was Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them that call according to His purpose. She quoted that all the time. And sometimes something happened, I'd be in a situation, I'm like, I believe the Bible, but I still don't see how this can be for anybody's good. I still don't see it. But some way, somehow, it is. When you mix a cake, a raw egg ain't good. Plain old flour by itself ain't good. That old real thick cream out of a can by itself ain't good. Sugar all by itself just ain't good. But you start mixing all that junk together and throw it in the oven and bake that sucker and it comes out, it'll make your tongue slap your brains out. Ain't that right? That's what he said. All things work together. He didn't say all things are good. They all work together for good. For your purpose. We may not even know the answer when we get to heaven. Preacher, there ain't no way this is for anybody's good. How do you know? I've had people say that, how's this for anybody's good? This man's little girl died. This man and his wife, their little boy died. How's that for anybody's good? I don't know, but I know this. I know God's right in everything He does. If God killed every last one of us, He'd be right. He'd be right. He's a sovereign God. He don't need the permission of the United Nations or Obama or the administration or anybody else. God is sovereign and He's righteous and holy. And everything He does is good and right whether we understand it or believe it. He's still right. And the last thing I want you to notice is, He said, I'll remember and respond, return, reward, be rewarded and be restored. But I like this. I like closing out on this note. Verse 12, He said, I will recognize. Very last thing He said in this, and He said, then destroy all them that afflict my soul, but for I am thy servant. He closed it with that. He closed it. He didn't say he got his joy back or everything got fixed. But He said, I'm yours. When Job lost it all and everything was a mess and his life was upside down, you understand Job lost everything he owned in one day, plus his kids, 10 kids all in one whack. They said, not what He said about God, Job. He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Amen. That's a big statement, brother. Here's what Job was saying. He said, I can identify. I don't understand all this. I don't know why all this has happened. But I know whose I am, Brother Sam. Amen. I know who I belong to. Let me give you a good illustration. I never met Brother Sam and Brother Kevin's daddy. But in a way, I have met him. Because he's in them. That's who they belong to. And the devil knows who you belong to. You just might not recognize it. Y'all have heard me talk about my daddy. My daddy died 5 or 6 years ago, and boy, was he a preacher. And I never really aspired to be like my daddy. I always looked up to him and admired him. Matter of fact, I told him one day, I said, Daddy, if I'm half the preacher that you've been, I'll be fortunate. But I never tried to emulate him or imitate him. And I said something while I was preaching. Debbie looked at me and said, that sounds just like your daddy. She said, that sounds just like Papa, didn't it? And boy, I got kind of choked up in my throat, Brother Jeff. I said, he really ain't dead. He's still living in me. Amen. Amen? David said, I'm overwhelmed and I'm desolate. He said, I'm wasted. But at least I know whose I am. I may go down swinging. I may drown. I may not make it. But at least I'll go down saying, I'm His. I belong to the Lamb of God. I belong to the great Jehovah God. I'm not a stinking Muslim. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. I know I'm His. I recognize whose I am. He said, Lord, if You choose to let me go down, if You choose to kill me, at least I'm Yours. Let me tell you what's wrong with our churches now. Everybody thinks you're supposed to be healthy and wealthy. They listen to me, these idiots on television. And we ought to get it in our mind, we're serving God. Come hell or high waters, old saying goes. Regardless of what happens, we're Christians, we're Bible believers, we're serving Him for a purpose. Because we love Him, because He first loved us. And once we get that, we get it understood and get it clear in our mind who we identify with, our identity. We don't align with the world. Recognize. We know whose we are. We're not trying to. We know we're different. We're not trying to be like them. But our society has painted Christianity. If you'll come to Christ, all your problems will be solved. That ain't true. You'll always have problems. Saved or lost, you're going to have problems. But if you'll get saved, at least you'll know what you are. You'll know what you are and where you're going. Amen? This little boy one time, I told this, but some of you may not have been here when I told it, but I'm going to tell it. Little boy's flying a kite one day. Man walks up and says, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "Are you sure?" He said, "I don't see it. Are you sure it's still up there?" He said, "Yeah, it's still up there. You can see the string for 500 or 600 feet. Went across some trees. He said, "Son, I declare I believe that kite has went down somewhere, and you think it's still up there, but really it's..." He said, "How much string you on?" He said, "I've tied a couple balls together. Ain't no telling where it's at." He said, "Son, I hate to tell you, but I think your kite's gone." He said, "No, it's still flying." He said, "Well, if you can't see it, and it's so far away, how do you know it's still up there?" He said, "Mister, every once in a while, I can't see nothing, but every once in a while, I feel it tugging. And I know it's up there.
Amen.
I might not can prove a whole lot of this, but I know where I'm hooked up. I know where I'm connected, brother. I know this ain't my world. This ain't my home. I'm passing through. I'm a stranger, a pilgrim. I'm just visiting here. And one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. He's going to call my name. I'm going to leave this place like a rocket, brother. And we're going to shout it out throughout all the ages. Because we recognize who we are." I'll give you another illustration. Everybody here recognizes their mama's voice, don't they? I guarantee your mama hollers. My little old dog over there, she's the most obedient little animal. If I get my wife and kids to listen good to my dog. But that dog listens to me better than anybody. When she hears my voice, I don't have to have a leash on her. I can just talk to her and she listens to me. What does that prove, preacher? We're connected somehow. She knows I'm her daddy. She knows I'm her pack leader. You say that's a crude illustration? It might be, but I got to get it on terms where all of us rednecks can understand it. What I'm saying is I recognize His voice. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. And when He comes back and calls me, preacher, how's it all going to work? How are we all going to go up to the sky saying them? I don't know, but when He calls, I'm going to recognize Him and I'm taking off. I'm going to leave this old mess behind and